Well, thank you, music team. That was wonderful. And welcome once again, all of you, to Flint Hills Bible Church for this special service where we get to celebrate the coming of Christ in the flesh. For those of you who are guests with us, my name is Brock Pena. I'm an elder here at Flint Hills Bible Church. And I am looking forward and thankful for this opportunity to share the word with you this evening. But if you would, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this season where we get to reflect on just the marvelous, wonderful reality that the Son of God took on flesh and was born to a peasant couple in Israel, and he humbled himself throughout his life, even to the point of death on a cross. Lord, let us not be distracted by all of the lights and the bells and the silliness that John referenced earlier. Lord, we want to focus on the real meaning of this season. The Savior of the world came doing what we could not do and laying down his life for people who don't deserve it, but who he chose to be his people. We're so thankful, Lord. We praise you. We give you honor and glory this evening. In Christ's name, amen. So this evening, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 2, but a little bit later than what we would typically look at for a Christmas Eve message. We're actually going to be focusing in on verses 25 through 35, because there's a character in there that I really have come to admire. His name is Simeon, and we don't really get a lot of information about him in Scripture. He doesn't get a lot of airtime. He's mentioned at this point in the Scriptures, and that's it. And as we go through our text this evening, we're going to go through and we're going to look at three main things. We're going to try to look at Simeon's character, what we can glean from Luke's account. We're going to look at Simeon's marvelous message. And finally, we'll take a moment to consider Simeon's warning. He does give a warning at the end. So I know this is Christmas Eve, and it's supposed to be happy, but there's a warning that we need to consider here this evening. But before we can get to our text, I do want to set the stage a little bit. The children's choir and John and his reading have brought us up to speed. But just to review, we all know the story of Mary and Joseph, right? Mary and Joseph are great people. We would love to have them in our church, I think. We have Joseph, for example, who is called by Matthew in his gospel a just man. And he was just because even though he was betrothed to Mary, he found out she was pregnant, and he was going to divorce her. And that was a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And rather than air his grievances and perhaps get her into a whole lot of trouble, he, being a just man, wanted to save her dignity as much as possible and was going to do it quietly. And he's commended for that as a just man. And then you have Mary. And Mary is a wonderful young woman. She has admirable character as well. Luke 1:26 and following details, when the angel comes to her and announces that, hey, Mary, you have found favor with God. He calls her, O favored one. And that's pretty unique, to be favored by God. She was humble, and she loved the Lord. Both of them loved the Lord. And we can see that in the way that they carefully followed the law of Moses as they brought this little precious baby Jesus into the world. You fast forward a little bit and you have Caesar Augustus, who required everyone to go to their hometown for a census. And so Joseph packs up some things and takes a very pregnant Mary to his hometown of Bethlehem. And while there, she gives birth to Jesus. Shepherds in the field get a terrifying visit from some angels who fall down, but who deliver a great message of peace. And now we come to our text here this morning, or this evening. So if you would read with me, we're going to start in verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And so we see here Mary and Joseph doing everything they can out of their love for Yahweh, following the law. So she stayed home for 8 days. Then they bring him for circumcision, as was prescribed by the law. 33 more days they stayed, and then they go to Jerusalem to the temple. And they present Jesus and a sacrifice for Mary for her purification. So we see a couple here who's godly, devout, who loves the Lord and loves his law, loves his word. And now we are coming to where we see Simeon. If you look with me at verse 25, we're introduced to him. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. So let's look at the character of this man. As I mentioned earlier, he's not really a major character. That's what we get. We get that description of Simeon, then we get his message. So we don't know a whole lot, but there are a few things that we do know. There's some speculation, that's the word. There's some speculation that he was a rabbi, perhaps, who maybe even taught Gamaliel. If some of you know that name from the Apostle Paul, he was the one who taught Paul the ropes of being a Pharisee. So there, that's possible, that's speculation though, so we can't be certain of that. For all we know, Simeon is just a normal man, probably elderly, as we'll see in just a moment, but we don't even really know that for certain. So with such little biographical information, how do we even know about his character? And it's because of what Luke describes in verse 25. Look at that again with me. There's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel and of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So just a couple of things I want to bring out to your attention. The first one is his name is Simeon. This is a fairly common name in Israel at this time, and it means he is heard. And it can also be roughly translated as God hears, which is fitting, as we're going to see, and we have already read the blessing and the prayer that God, or that Simeon makes to God when he's holding Jesus. So we have his name. We also have his description of being a righteous and devout man. I hope you don't gloss over that. That is a tremendous description. If I could have that on my tombstone, Brock Pena, righteous and devout, that would be amazing. That's an amazing tribute. And it's amazing because those are such powerful words. Righteous refers to a moral cleanness and a purity. Simeon was not a man who defrauded his neighbor, who lied and deceived people. He was not immoral. He was not wicked. He was righteous. And the second word, devout, he's a devout man. He tells us of a person who is very careful and serious about the word of God, about the law of God. A devout person takes what they see in the Word of God and they apply it to every area of life. They seek to be obedient, joyfully obedient, worshipfully obedient to all that God reveals to us. So Simeon, righteous and devout, is a wonderful man. So he also had something on his mind. Did you catch what he was anticipating? Look at verse 25 again. The man was Simeon. He was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So that consolation of Israel, consolation, he's looking for a consoler, someone who is going to bring comfort, a comforter that was going to come to Israel, because in their long history, they have many, many bad things that have happened, right? The whole Old Testament is filled with this, it looks like a stock market graph, like you'd have Israel doing really well, obeying the Lord with good leadership, and then the king would die, and then a bad king would come, and they go chasing off other gods, and they would be all immoral, and it would be terrible. So we had this whole history where God would judge his people when they were not obeying him. And so you have Israel at this time was under the oppression of the Romans. And they were longing for the prophecies of the Son of David to come back to rule in Israel and to set everything right like it's supposed to be. And so while many in Israel were looking for that, Simeon had the right idea. He was looking and remembering, I'm sure, passages in the scriptures like Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, that says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." And like Isaiah 52, 9, "Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." And one more is found in Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." And that was not the present reality that Simeon was living in, that Israel was living in. But Simeon was anticipating a time when this comforter would come and set things right. So Simeon, righteous and devout, who also knew his Bible, he comes to the temple on the very day when Jesus is brought. Now, how did he know that? How did he know when to go? And that's the answer to that question is the third and final thing that I want to highlight about Simeon, and that is what we find in that last part of verse 26. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon had the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, guiding and directing him. He was walking with God. And the Holy Spirit had given him the promise and told him, "Simeon, you're not going to die until you've seen my salvation." What a promise. So, when he sees Jesus, Simeon, led by the Spirit to the temple, to the very place, at the very hour where Mary and Joseph were walking in to present Jesus, Simeon finds them, and he gives them a marvelous message, a marvelous blessing to God. And that's our second point. Let's look at verses 28 through 32. "And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So just briefly, in the time that we have here tonight, I want to just highlight a couple of things that Simeon said there. First of all, Simeon says that now I can depart in peace. And that's translation would be, hey, now I can die in peace. He knew that this was what the Spirit had promised him, and he had such confidence in God that he knew that he was ready to die and go home to be with the Lord. Secondly, so the salvation of God, this little baby that he was holding in his arms, he said that this baby was a light. And there's a wonderful thing. What does light do? It illuminates. It shows us. It helps us see what is really there. It helps us see the truth. And this light was not just for Israel. And that might have been surprising for Mary and Joseph to hear at this time. Remember, Israel hated the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated Israel. They did not get along. And there's evidence of that throughout the New Testament as the Apostle Paul writes to the churches as they're struggling to get these Jewish believers and these Gentile believers to have peace together. That was a reality. And for Simeon to make this statement that this baby is a light for revelation for the Gentiles was an incredible thing. And if you're a Gentile like me, we rejoice in that, right? We in Jesus, see the salvation that God has prepared revealed. We see the character of God revealed in Jesus. In fact, Jesus in John tells his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So a revelation to the Gentiles. He's also a light for glory to Israel. And this is an incredible blessing for Israel. They are God's covenant people. They are his chosen people. And this reference to him, Jesus being the light for glory for the people of Israel, what a joy, what a point of national pride that God would choose your nation to send his son into the world to accomplish the salvation that would benefit not only your people, but the whole world. That is a glorious thing. That is a majestic, wonderful truth. What a privilege for Israel. So Simeon makes this wonderful blessing, makes these marvelous statements. And Mary and Joseph did marvel, it says. They marveled at the things that he said. But he wasn't done. We see that there's also this price that was going to be paid. And it brings us to our last point, which is there's a warning here. First to Mary, and then I think by extension we can say to us. Now, look with me at verse 33 again. And his father and mother marvel at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, Mary and Joseph, and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So, a few things that he was warning Mary about first. It's going to be hard. He knew that there was going to be something happening where it was going to pierce the heart of Mary. And then on this side of the cross, we know what that was, right? We know that the Lord Jesus lived a perfect life and he went to the cross and he was rejected and he was spit on, humiliated, and murdered. And Mary had to watch it. So she had this piercing in her heart. But even more importantly than the pain that it would cost Mary, it cost Jesus his life. Jesus was born to accomplish God's plan of salvation. And we know what that meant. Like I said, we know what that meant in a clearer way than Simeon did. You see, Jesus, he lived a righteous life, perfect in every way. He faced the same trials and temptations that you and I face. He was in a body that experienced weakness. He got tired. He got hungry. He got sick. And yet, through his entire life, he never sinned. Hebrews 4 tells us that. He faced all that we face without sin. And then he willingly laid down his life. He was left alone. His disciples fled. Peter denied him. He endured the wrath of God on the cross for his people. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has failed to meet God's standard. You and I both, Mary and Joseph, Simeon himself, all of us have failed. We have fallen short of God's glory, and we deserve God's wrath. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But because of Christ, because he was our willing substitute, God can be just. He can be the holy judge and the merciful Father with no contradiction. But it all depends on what you do with Jesus. And that's the second part of this warning from Simeon. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. There would be a temptation, and we see it play out as we read the Gospels. There are many Jews who would rather rely on their ability to keep the law, their ability to not be like the others who are not as holy as they are, who would reject Jesus' teaching. They would reject, ultimately, the only way of salvation that God has designed. And they would fall. And there would be others who would see in Jesus and hear his teaching, the very words of God, and they believed in him. They would trust in him, in his ability to cleanse sins, to forgive sins. And those would rise. And you and I in this room, we have that same choice now. Will you look to Jesus, see an all-sufficient Savior who lived a perfect life that we could not live, and then died in our place? Or will you cling to your own ability, your own imagination that I'm really not that bad? I can handle this on my own, Lord. Thank you. Those will fall. My prayer tonight is that we would heed that warning from Simeon, that we would look to Christ. You would turn from our sins, turn from your own efforts to make God happy in your own willpower, that you would trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He lived, and then he died, so that those who would repent, who would turn away from their sins, turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, we can be forgiven. All because 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus took on flesh and became a baby. Let's pray to that end. Father, we thank you for Jesus. This Christmas story, Lord, let it not be old news. Let us not hear these things again this year, read through these accounts again this year, and be unmoved by them. Oh, Lord, convict us where we need conviction. And Lord, may we be like Simeon, who rest in the promise of God for salvation, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We pray these things for your glory. Amen.